Stewardship isn't a great theme. I mean, when you hear stewardship and you got to preach a stewardship sermon, I'm sorry, I get to preach a stewardship sermon. You know, I always get nervous because I'm kind of sensitive to, you know, you don't want to bother people. You want to interest them in Christ and all that. But then you talk about money, which stewardship's more than that. It's your time, it's your money, it's your gifts. And then I'm thinking, why should I feel that way? One of the greatest joys in my life since 13 has been to give money away. Now, I'm not as good as with time. I'm very possessive of my time. Money, pretty simple for me. I just don't care so much about money. I care about time. But over the years, it's congregations I served taught me about time. I watched them as they gave up whole days, weekends to help somebody in need, build a garage or do whatever, and that's impressed me. That's made a difference. So giving is all of you, every part of you, not just financially. And you do have sermon notes, should have them with you, or they should have been given to you when you came in. I want to talk about why we give. Why we give. One, we give because we find joy in sharing. Like I said, one of the greatest joys in my life is sharing. Now, I started when I was 13, so it was easy to figure out the 10%. Well, I wasn't working, so it was zero. So it was a great time to start giving your tithe. But then I started waitering in my teenage years, and I'd come home, count up my tip money, put it away. Got my check, put it away. And then I had a passion for building schoolhouses in Africa. Operation Bootstrap Africa. I spent many years. And it doesn't sound like much, but it ends up being for a kid thousands of dollars helping to build schoolhouses. That's where it started for me. And it's been, it's almost addictive. When you look at the money, you say, well, I can do this with this money. Or I can feed the poor, or help the church, or care for girls that's in sex trafficking. I mean, it's endless, isn't it? And our society keeps unintentionally, well, that's not true necessarily, but pushing what it is that we want. We buy, we purchase, we spend our time on all kinds of things. It's because we've lost the sense of need and urgency about other things. But the joy, sometimes I look at something I'm going to do with money or time, and I think about, you know what, though, we could give that money over here. You don't have to give all of it. I mean, you need some money to live on. But the Bible does talk about radical giving, and joy should be at the base of it. It should be a joyful thing, although that might build. And I was blessed enough to start tithing when I was 13 because I did it. I'd never not known it. Now, if you don't, let's say if you're given 2% of your money, then what happens is you can't next year get that 8% back because your money's committed, but you can over time. And that should be how we think of time, talents, and our treasure, is looking at what can I stop over here or not do so that I may do something great over here. He loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 6:8, Paul tells the church, God loves a cheerful giver. He wants you to find joy in giving. It's more blessed to give than receive in Acts chapter 20. So joy. It's so wonderful when the church makes a difference. Secondly, we give because it's the best way to show gratitude to God. 1 Corinthians 9, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God, overflowing with expressions of thanks to God. Giving of time, talent, or treasure is a showing of gratitude to God. Last church I was at in Milbank, South Dakota, when I got there, they had just finished paying off their building. They left a denomination, they started their own church, and they just finished building a building. And there's a lot of people who really wanted, they paid $1.2 million, and they kind of went on the downside because they weren't sure how big the church was going to be and how much to expect. So people were already, it's really great to see, they're looking forward to building a new church. adding on to the church, existing church, adding more space and doing that right away. But you know what happens when we do a building project, which we have to, at times a church has to? What happens is you start thinking inward, and you have to. All your time and energy goes into the building for a while, and ministry in some ways stops or is deterred. So what this church did was after they built their building, they said, let's take 2 years and let's just give money away because we've been so focused on the building. And they gave $100,000 in 2 years over and above their church benevolence, over and above. And one of the things they did was help a church build most of a church in Vietnam, a church that needed it. They built somebody else's building. And you see that here with Dave Drum's ministry, how churches do that to one for another. But it's how we express gratitude to God. Did you hear the Old Testament lessons, which I don't have? The Old Testament lessons from Exodus. This is the Old Testament. You found it. Oh, good. And thank you to the person who came in to give them to you, too. Excellent. Okay, this is the first reading. This is centuries before Jesus. Millennium before us. Moses said, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel. Chosen. See, that's the thing. God chooses us to give certain things, gifts, time, and money. But we're not always in alignment to what he wants to do through us. And they received from Moses all the offerings that the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough to do the work the Lord has commanded us to do. Wouldn't that be great? Stop giving! No more! There's a moratorium on giving. Why? This is Moses, right? What just happened? What's just happened in their recent history? Is they were saved by God, taken through the Red Sea, given the commandments, entered into a covenant at the base of Mount Sinai. This is gratitude. These people were just grateful. And the thing is, that's why, along with stewardship, we want people to know Jesus more. We want to become more intimate with Christ and what he's done for us, because when that happens, the giving automatically comes. I was excited as a Christian teenager to show gratitude to God. These people had just been loved by God, cared for by God in powerful, profound ways. Powerful, profound ways. And it was their gratitude for what God had done to them. Gratitude is a big, big reason why we give. Three, we give because people are in need. At some point, we got to be careful where we cross the line when we're spending too much time, energy, and everything that God has given us and refusing to look at people in need. And we have to do that deliberately, especially in our culture. We have to stop and go, okay, what are the needs and what's all that I have? And maybe I can shift some of this. In Acts 2, it says this, they sold property, the church in Jerusalem, sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They sold everything. Well, at times, you remember Ananias and Sapphira didn't get all their property over there. But this was not compulsory. It was not necessary. They didn't have to do it, but they chose to do it. And again, I think it bleeds into Thanksgiving, because they had just experienced all of these people in Jerusalem had experienced a conversion. And if you've ever seen somebody after conversion, there's excitement and love for God. Just like when you meet a woman or a man and this infatuation and this love mixed in, and it's such a bright, shining light, and then you go on in years, and it gets better, doesn't it? But different. Is my wife here? It's different, isn't it? I think it's better, but it's different. It's not wild like this. But these people were wildfire eyes. I was at 13. All my brothers and sisters were converted. And we're like, we can't sustain that. But we give because people are in need. There are people starving. Hundreds of millions of people not with enough food. people, there's tragedies of natural disasters regularly, where thousands or tens of thousands of people or hundreds of thousands are affected. There are girls in the sex trafficking. There are people who are doing, I mean, there's so many people hurting right now around the world and around in our world. There's so many people. So here we got our stuff and people in need. Which one? I think sometimes we don't see people in need. And so we don't think about that. We should think about that. See more people in need. Because which one are we going to do? I mean, is it worth this? Is it worth saving this section here if I could do something over here? 4, we are partners with God and others to do his work. God uses partners, themes throughout Scripture, themes through our lives. He uses partners. He becomes a partner with us, but he also includes a team of people. That's how God is. He partners. And God has a plan to take care of the needs of the world and take care of the needs in our world. The problem is, it's all based on that we all work together with our special gifts and time and money, and we do it properly. That's why we're trying to get people to write down their gifts, discover their gifts so we can put you in the right place. We're an orchestra. We're an orchestra, and we're counted on. The music's been written. And if we're a French horn player, now if you listen to Beethoven's Ninth and you listen to French horn, it's good stuff, but it's really blah and plain at times and simple. And then you put it in with the rest of the instruments in the right place and it works. God partners with us and others. That's why we have churches. That's how God likes it, that we work together to do this. But we need to know our place. See, if you don't use your gifts and time and money and whatever, then you're out of alignment with the workings of God. You're not going to be able to be as helpful. So we need to know who we are and what we're supposed to give in this orchestra. We all have different instruments. God is amazing. Isn't it amazing how different people are? They have passions about different things. They have gifts for different things. And you need to know your gifts and your passions to know how you want to give. Gifts and passions, both of them. That's where it should come from, because God knows what he wants to do with you and to do with us. 5, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. Corinthian church was privileged to help the church in Judea with hunger, with feeding them. Paul collected money on his missionary journeys, and the Corinthian church gave until it hurt. They didn't have money, but they gave anyway. Just like the widow. They gave anyway. And they were privileged. They were privileged to help. I mean, the Corinthian church, that was a great privilege. It's a great privilege to give to God and others. It's a great privilege. It's like if you meet a famous person, it's a privilege to bring them a glass of water. To do anything. I ushered a John Denver concert decades ago, and I had the privilege of, he was in the center of the auditorium and he had to go out, but they had to, I was an usher and I was one of the ushers who made sure nobody touched him. That was a privilege. It's always a privilege with famous people, isn't it? Isn't that silly? Why? But in this case, it's true. We have the most famous being that exists. And do you know that we're famous to God? We are that important. So God gives us the privilege of giving. He gives us the privilege. This is a pretty famous guy. And we get to give to him and to others for him. 2 Corinthians says they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their abilities. And I challenge you with your giving. Challenge you. Just challenge you. We want to move towards sacrificial giving. I know that the pig and the hen had planned, in this church years ago, I heard the story, they planned a fundraiser. It was a ham and eggs fundraiser. Until the pig finally realized, hey, the hen's just donating. I'm sacrificing. And of course, the goal here is that we give more. There's different ideas. Some say you give to the church first. Some say, you know what? I think you're free. We are free to seek God on that matter. All we really like to see is that we all give more. And I think if we all give more, there'd be enough money here and elsewhere. But we're going to keep pressing all of us to be more generous so we can impact the world in greater ways. It's a privilege. And six, we give. Why? Most of all, because he gave. Right? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's sacrificial giving. Jesus is our role model in living our life and using ourselves for him. And he moves us towards sacrificial giving. Challenge you in the years ahead, because it may take time to build momentum if you're, because our monies are accounted for. But challenge yourself. Make it a little uncomfortable. Or make it really uncomfortable. Sometimes people, they sell some property and they give a larger portion than normal away, or whatever that may be. And be creative in your giving. I remember at Willow Creek in Chicago, a big church, there were retired mechanics, car mechanics, who opened up a place where, especially women who were single women with parents, and to help free care for their car. Pretty cool, huh? Let's be creative in our giving so that it multiplies. It doesn't just add. He gave first. Jesus is our role model. Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for his sake became poor. Jesus decided to do away with some of this, a lot of this stuff, so he could do the kingdom work and save humanity. And yet for his sake became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. God so loved the world. We give because he gave. He's mentoring us. He's saying, in fact, and Paul says it in 2nd chapter of Philippians, be like Jesus Christ, who though he had everything, gave up the throne, I'm paraphrasing, gave up the throne and became a man, a human, in order that he might save us. There's two more that I thought of this morning. I've stayed away from reward. And I'll tell you in a little bit why. The anxiety of money. Sometimes we get worried about money. And there's times where it's appropriate to worry about our money. What happens sometimes, if you give in that moment, it breaks the power of that anxiety. Remember once, decades ago, Kay and I didn't have much money. We were in debt. We decided to take out this little fund we had. I went to collect it because I could go personally, and it's five $100 bills. Put it in my pocket, went to a conference that night, just a small conference, and at the end there, they said that this couple lost all their belongings in a trailer home. And it was like Kay and I looked at each other, and we had the same thing. It's like we were convicted. So we gave it. You know what? Once we gave it, kind of broke the anxiety. Sometimes giving the things that are precious to you breaks this worry, because it's like you're putting it into God's hands. And yes, I'll finally say rewarded. Who needs a reward more than the joy you get, more than the privilege of caring for people in need, of thanking God with their gift? I mean, honestly, when you get to this point, who cares about reward? But I'll say it because it's there. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows generously will reap generously. There's rewards. Now, don't count on in this world. Sometimes it may be in this world, but many times not. I've seen some of the most generous people go through the worst things financially, even bankruptcy. You can't don't compute it. Some theology out there computes it. You give this, 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 you get exactly the same. It doesn't work like that. Now, there's times I know I've been blessed because of giving now, but sometimes I have not. Now. But someday. And this can't be law. It's so easy to twist giving into law. You got to give, or this is what you got to give, or this is where you got to give. And that's okay for some, because that's how they view their giving. And they give generously. But it's not a law. We don't have to give. We get to give. Somebody might fourth grade math was get to give. What do you think is Russian? We get to give. We don't have to give. We get to give. And Paul at one point said, I'm not commanding you, to the Corinthians. I'm not commanding you. That's what he said. We're not commanding you. But wow, you're missing a lot. And also maturity. If we don't give generously, it shows that we're not there yet. That we still have some immaturity in that area of our life. Because it should be spontaneous, it's not always. But there's no law. Everyone should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. You get to give. Let's make a commitment today and next Sunday to just give more and more and more and more. Give it. Give it where God calls you to give it. Give it here, if God calls you to give it here. Just let's be more generous. Let's start looking at people in need and knowing that God is partnered with us and others to make a difference. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy of giving. We thank you for the privilege of giving. We are grateful for what you've done. And Father, forgive us for holding on to too many things. And we pray, God, that you'd give us the ability to share even more, the desire, the passion to use our gifts the way they should be given. And Father, may we be like that congregation in Exodus where there was too much money to meet the need that you saw. In Jesus' name, amen.